Guys, what is up? Welcome back.
Hi.
To Caffeinated Christians. We are in the series, what's it called? Struggling with Sin. I don't know why I couldn't remember that, but it's fine. Today, I am taking over hosting duties. Emma is here, though. Say hi to your fans.
Hi.
Wow, that was great. Disclaimer, Emma just got out of bed, and so she's still drinking her coffee waking up this morning. Which is great. Okay, so we're doing this series, Struggling with Sin, and last week we did anxiety, and this week we are doing people-pleasing, which is something that I don't personally struggle with, which is why I'm hosting today, because Emma does. So this is a interview-style episode, kind of like last week, but kind of not. And so Emma's going to be answering some questions and giving us all her deepest, darkest secrets. Just kidding.
That's for another podcast.
So, without further ado, let us jump into this episode. Okay. So, what is people-pleasing and why is it a sin?
People-pleasing. Oh. So, people-pleasing is basically the art, quote-unquote,
art
of trying to get a person or multiple people or everyone's approval of you with every action, every decision you make. People pleasing is you are basically living to please others and to have other people like you or approve of you or love you. That's basically what it is unsugarcoated. And the reason why it is a sin is because that's a form of, if we look at it, that's a form of different worship. It's like, you are placing people's approval of you over God's approval of you. And that's a sin. That's idolizing. And we're only supposed to serve and worship the Lord our God, not people in that way. Serving people and then worshiping people are very different things. So, it's not good. And it causes you to really lose yourself and lose who God made you to be in an ocean of all these opinions of you or what you should do, and it's very chaotic and very stressful. So that's what people pleasing is.
So how do you like recognize this like people pleasing behavior in your own life?
Well, I've always known that I was people pleaser just from my young years. I can just recognize moments where I really struggled with wanting my parents to really approve of me, and so I became a perfectionist really early on. And a lot of it I discovered with the help of the Enneagram, and although the Enneagram is not my identity, it has really helped me figure out the worst parts about me and also the greatest parts about me in the Enneagram. So I am an Enneagram 2 and 3. And the twos are called the helpers, and so they're just very passionate about serving people and loving people, and have the gift of just loving others and just knowing what others need without them really having to say it. And the issues with that is twos struggle with the idea of being loved, and they struggle with the idea of people loving them, and so they will love people as a way to get love back, or they will love people so they can feel some sort of approval from them. Twos and threes are very similar, I think, in their core of what they want, and I'm a two wing three, so I got the double people pleasing portion. And I can also, all throughout high school, like I don't want to say I totally shifted my identity to like please a crowd, because it wasn't, I feel like when we think of that, we're like, oh, I started doing drugs and alcohol and whatever. That's not it. But I definitely shifted parts of my personality to please a certain group of people. Just like that kind of stuff. And the same thing happened in college. And I feel like I just lost myself and my friends because I was so busy trying to morph into and love on them and serve them in a way that they would love me and they'd want to accept me. But that's not where it's supposed to be at, Sister Sledge.
Do you think that there are like certain triggers that cause you to be like more
people-pleasing one day than a different day?
I feel like when I'm more insecure. Because I have... I mean, everyone has those days. Everyone makes mistakes. That was backwards.
Hannah Montana.
But I feel like everyone has those days where they're more insecure than they were the last day.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it's because of just hormones, and hormones change for us every single day. But there are some days where I look at me and I'm like, shoot, that girl cute. And then there are other days where I'm like, shoot, we gotta hide. And I feel like that on the days where I want to hide, on the days I'm more susceptible being a people pleaser, because I feel like I'm not okay in my own skin of who I am on those days. When I'm super insecure, and then I'm able to shift in more for people or serve people easier, because it's kind of like, I don't know, the way it's hard to describe. It's like, not that you're necessarily changing yourself when you're serving others, but it's like you put that part of yourself away and you present a part of yourself that you know another person will really like.
Yeah.
And I feel like also, like, in huge disagreements, or like if my parents and I are like fighting, which rarely happens, or if like we're in an argument or whatever, I will like totally just love on them to get through that tension. Like big disagreements, I'm like, well, it's easier for me to just put on the serving part of myself that they'll like rather than my entirety of who I am. And it's that wound of, like, they don't love me enough, or, like, whatever. It's just, like, it's all wounds that I'm not allowing God to fulfill, that I'm trying to get others to fulfill, and that hasn't worked out. And so I just am left empty, so.
Do you think that your, like, people-pleasing behavior comes out more depending on who the person is?
Absolutely. If I don't feel like I know that they love me, it's like super huge difference. Okay, for example, like you and I, it's like you're very you validate like our relationship, our friendship, and you're constantly expressing ways that you care about me. So it's like I feel like I don't need a people please in this situation, because you express that you love me, and I know that. Whereas like maybe another friend that's a lot more distant or whatever, or, like, a lot of old relationships I was in, that was not constantly reiterated, which is what I need. It was very, like, the way that love languages were shown on my end. It was just me. And so I feel like I have to, like, try to pull it out of them almost.
So it's like you struggle more with one-way relationships than if you have, like, a relationship like ours, where it's, like, mm-hmm. mutually agreed upon that we are friends, and it's shown on both sides.
Yeah.
Where if you have a friend that's, like, not doing that, that's when it comes out more.
Absolutely.
Interesting. So, okay. So, how do you think, like, with all of that to say, what do you think is the root cause of it? Like, in its core being, what is the root cause?
Yeah. Kind of like what I said earlier, I feel like there are parts of my heart that are not full, or I wasn't letting, because I really haven't done people-pleasing. I'm not really people-pleasing as much now. I've been able to put up a boundary. But I feel like at the time when I was really doing it, it was, my heart was really empty. There are parts of my heart that are super empty, and that things that only God can fill. And I was not turning to Him to fill those things. And so I turned to people to fill those things. I just got a list there. Oh my gosh. Fill those things. And they could not do that. And so I'm still empty. And that was like I think, you know how, like, if you're an Enneagram nerd, the book, The Road Back to You, which is so good, talks about a lot about, like, childhood wounds and how, because there are a bunch of different theories about the Enneagram, and it's like, did it start when you were born, or did it start from a certain event? Which is very fascinating. And the two childhood wound talks a lot about just not feeling loved, and not feeling appreciated for the things that they were doing. And I feel like that, like, my need for approval started when I was very young. I can, like, just see moments of when we lived in Michigan and where I didn't get that. Or especially when we lived in Ohio, because that was a whirlwind. So I think it's just, like, the parts of me that feel empty and don't feel loved because I'm not going to the one who is love, and I'm going to the people that he loves.
Do you think it could be also, like, rooted in fear, almost, of, like, fear of not getting the love that you need slash want?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really great point as well, because I feel like that one of my biggest fears is being alone or isolation or something along those lines. And so, yeah, I also think it's like a fear mechanism almost. It's like trying to protect myself from what might happen, even though that will never happen.
Do you think you like subconsciously do it, or you like I know there's going to be times where you're actively doing it, but do you think that you more, it's more of like an instinct than it is like I'm going to go out of my way to please this person on purpose?
Yeah, especially, like, okay, I am, like, the worst texter. Besides, like, you, I'm awful at texting. And, like, I have, like, quite a number of social media friends and people I've just been able to meet through, like, TikTok or Instagram or Twitter that are just, like, love the Lord, and it's really cool. And I am awful at texting them back. Because I'm usually, like, in the middle of something when they text me, and I'm like, okay, like, I see their message, I read the message, and I'm like, cool, I'll have to respond when I have time to text and respond to their question. Because usually it's, like, a deep question, or it's, like, tell me everything. And I'm like, can't do that right now. I forget to respond. And so I feel so bad, and I feel like, oh, my gosh, they must hate me. They must, like, think I'm awful or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And so, like, I go out of my way to, like, send, like, back long texts or text them or try to call them back. And it's, like, I feel like I do that, I think, because I want to save that relationship because I'm afraid that it'll fall through unless I do something, or, like, they won't love me anymore unless I give back to them as soon as possible or clarify, I'm so sorry, I was busy, or, like, blah, blah, like, over and over and over again. And so I do think that it is instinct, and that especially with social media, I feel like I've had to catch myself a few times of, like, trying to make my Instagram how people want it to be and posting what people want me to post and making it very people-oriented and worshiping people through it instead of worshiping God, because I wanted to get that approval from them, which is very interesting. Or, like, yeah, there's just so many situations where I feel like I did it subconsciously, and I feel like I'm starting to be able to recognize it and catch myself and be like, where are you finding your identity right now? So, interesting question.
So, sorry, I'm asking you questions that I don't have on here. I'm just thinking about them as we go.
No, it's great. just get my brain to wake up.
Yeah. Good morning.
Morning.
Okay, so I don't know how to ask this, but as an 8, I'll just put this into my own personal experience. When I was really unhealthy, I don't think I did this, like, on purpose. I think I just, that's just kind of what happened, is, like, when I have friends who are like you, in the sense of, like, you do your best to, like, make sure I'm okay and that I'm cared for and that I have things that I need and whatever, fill in the blank. At my worst, or at my really unhealthy part of being an 8, like, I would take advantage of that, but I don't think I would do it on purpose. I think it was just, like, a subconscious effort of, like, oh, well, this person is going to give me things that I need, so I'm going to cling on to them. How would you, as a 2...
Oh, boy.
Like, handle situations like that? Like, if you feel like someone is taking advantage of you, do you let it happen, or do you set boundaries? Like, talk about boundaries for a minute.
Yeah.
How does that look?
So in the past, I've had lots of people take advantage of me. That's just how it be. And I don't think I recognized it as people taking advantage of me, until now, until, like, looking. I mean, I feel like I've been, like, with quarantine and everything, I've been in a very reflective period of my life, and the Lord's been healing and redeeming and correcting and purifying me. So I've been able to look at a lot of old friendships and what those have looked like all through my years of life, literally. And so I can see now when I had a toxic relationship or a toxic friendship, one of the core roots was that I was trying to find my identity in that person, and they were taking advantage of everything I was giving them, and it was not a good mix. And I feel like now, because I haven't had that experience right now, which is good, I feel like now I would absolutely have to have a discussion, and I'm still learning how to have my voice be heard. I'm still stuck at, like approaching people and, like, hey, you did this, and it hurt my feelings. I still have a hard time doing that. I get nervous. But I feel like I would have to have a conversation and be like, listen, this is how I am feeling, and I feel that we need to shift some things in our friendship, because I feel like I'm doing this to you, which is not okay, and I feel like this is happening from your end to mine. And setting boundaries looks a lot like, for me, example, I struggle, and I'm still learning how to navigate this, I struggle not sitting with people too deep in their pain. Like, that is just something I have a hard time doing. And a lot of times it gets really overwhelming with just all the other external things that are happening in my life, where I have to say, hey, I'm so sorry, I cannot talk about this heavy crap with you anymore. Like, I have to take a break, it's too heavy. And so that looks like a healthy boundary for me, because I would sit, all of my relationships I did this, would sit in their pain, I would encourage them, I would love on them, and they would take that encouragement, and they would love that encouragement, and they'd want more of it. And the way they would ask for more would not be in a very healthy way. And so I would be like, what the bruh, like, I feel like I'm not getting anything out of this relationship, I feel like I'm just giving and giving and giving, and I kept on giving because I wanted their approval, and it was just a mess. So setting healthy boundaries is saying, hey, I can't take on any more of this. Like, if you need to talk to somebody about this, talk to somebody else. I'm so sorry. I love you. It's that. It's also some space. Sometimes you just need a break. Sometimes it's just like, hey, I need a week of just, like, chilling out. Because it gets really tiring, like, constantly pouring into people and not being poured into. It's exhausting. So saying, hey, I need a break. Because I think a lot of the problem is also with these friends that I had, I did life with them. Like, it wasn't just, oh, I saw you once a week. It was like, I saw them every single day, either at school or at rehearsal or in certain classes or at lunch, or I saw them multiple times each day and I hung out with them on the weekends or after school. Like, it was a constant, I saw these people all the time. And so definitely taking breaks, whatever. And also just, like, realigning, I think, your heart with the Lord. But that's more of something I think you can do instead of certain boundaries you need to set. So
yeah. Okay, so let's switch gears a little bit and bring Jesus into all of this.
Jesus
is great. Okay, so what does God say about people pleasing?
He says it's bad. Let me pull out my scripture. So Paul talks a lot about it, which is, you know, like, the Bible is just God's words to us through different people. So Paul talks about it in Galatians. Okay. So I'm not going to start. There's, like, I'm going to read quite a number of verses because Paul is just a savage. And I just want to, this is how God thinks about people pleasing. Okay. He goes, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than what you've accepted, let them be under God's curse.
Yikes.
Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. That's Galatians 1:6-10. So very explicitly, God is like, no. I feel like people pleasing is an act of idolizing. Mm-hmm. I feel like it looks different than what we think idolizing looks like. I feel like that we picture idolizing like a wooden statue, and we're like, there's like those creepy candles around. We're like, and we're like kneeling before. But idolizing looks so different now because we're in a different culture. And idolizing, I feel like, because we're worshiping people and we're worshiping that approval of others when we do it, it's a form of sin and it's a form of idolizing and worship, which God commands us to not do over and over in the freaking Old Testament. Read the entire Old Testament. It says it, I think, 800 billion times.
Whoa.
And the reason why the Israelites super sucked it up is because they kept on finding these other pagan gods and worshiping them. And so we can do the same thing, as we can make other people and their approval our gods, just like we can make our phones our gods, or we can make drugs or alcohol our gods, or your boyfriend or girlfriend, you can make them your god. You can make people-pleasing and the act of just other people your god. So God says this is a super no-no because it takes his authority away.
Yeah.
Or, like, it basically, like, you take his authority away. His authority is never taken away, but it's, like, you don't give him the authority that he deserves.
I'm glad you brought up the idolizing thing. I feel like a lot of people miss that these days. Like, you can idolize anything. I mean,
absolutely.
For a long time, this is going to sound dumb, but, like, there's been a few times that I've been called out on, like, the fact that I idolize sports and, like, football, because it's, like, the one thing that I love to do or watch. And so you can make an idol out of anything. I mean,
absolutely.
Israelites idolized the golden cow, so.
Yeah, when Moses was up on the mountain talking to God. One of the most fascinating things is because Holly said that we miss that all the time. We can idolize literally everything. There's a girl I follow on Instagram. She's amazing. If you don't follow her, go follow her. Her name is, her at is at Coffee with Rach. Her name's Rachel, and she is so just well-spoken. And she has a blog and a great Instagram and whatever. And so she had this beautiful long hair. It was, like, down to her butt, like, beautiful long hair. And she, like, allowed it to become an idol. Her hair. She allowed it to become an idol. And so the Lord called her to cut it off. Like, and so she has really short hair now. And, like, I would kind of sat there and I was, like, thinking, that's crazy. Like the Lord was, like, that's an idol. Gone. Like, again, an idol can be literally become anything. It could become Holly's obsession with candles. Like, it can be my obsession with coffee. It could be, like, your favorite TV
like
show.
Like my guitar story.
Yes. Yes. Oh, my gosh. We should do a podcast on idols.
We should.
Okay, we just...
And I'll tell that story.
Yeah. So, I feel like that... Worshipping other people is the same as worshipping other gods, pagan gods. So, God says no.
Okay, so, God says no.
Yeah.
So, through your lifetime, looking back, how have you seen, like, the Lord working in you through all of this?
I feel like he's still working. There's still, you know, we're never done working. We're never finished with our refinement story, I think. But he has really helped me a lot with my identity, because at the core of people-pleasing, it's an identity issue. It's, I feel like I'm not, I don't feel loved, I don't feel cherished, I don't feel blah, blah, blah. All these things that I can only be filled from God, and I feel like he's really done a really good job with the past, even just since January, showing me what our relationship is supposed to look like, and showing me how much he loves me and how he constantly just provides the little things in my life to show that he loves me. And so that's been a huge, I think, process in this. And he's also gotten rid of a lot of friendships. Mm-hmm. Like, he really did a deep cleaning of just people in my life and the relationships I was in, because majority of which were unhealthy. And so he's really done a deep cleaning, I think, and just in my life and who I am and a lot of the toxic parts about me. He has changed and he has healed and he has corrected, especially over quarantine. I think this isolation process, he was like, it's either me or nothing, like, your choice. And so I feel like that he did a deep cleaning of relationships and friendships, which is really hard for me because I'm an extrovert. And he was like, you're going to take the time to focus on me and who I am, or you're just basically blatantly not choosing me. And so I was able to just really strengthen my relationship with him. And one of the words that the Lord has been just constantly still giving me is the word intimacy, which I've talked, I don't know if I've talked about in the podcast, but I've talked about it a lot. And he's made our relationship more intimate, which is something that I desire and crave. And I love intimacy. And I just love those deep, meaningful friendships and relationships like that. Those just mean the world to me. And so he has shown me what that's supposed to look like in my relationship with him and how I'm supposed to go to the source for approval. And I'm supposed to go to the source for the desire to be loved. And the source is God. And so I feel like that has been a huge, just really cool part of my story. Where it's, like, I have been also surrounded by people that I know love me. And so it's, like, I haven't felt the need to people please, really. Except for, like, social media, which is I'm able to catch myself and be, like, nope. And then I'm just, like, I'm throwing away my phone for a day. So, yeah.
That's where it's at. So how do you, like, through all of that, how do you make sure that you are valuing and listening to God's voice mm-hmm. over everyone else's?
God's voice gives me peace. People's voices don't usually, unless they're speaking the truth.
Yeah. We need that bell, dang it.
Yeah, yeah. Gosh darn it, we still need to get the bell. So it's like, for example, God's voice is, I have made you enough. People's voice is, you aren't doing enough. And that triggers, and that makes me sad. God's voice, other than him correcting me or punishing me for doing something wrong or him saying no, like you're not, you don't get this, or no, you're not doing this, doesn't make me sad and it doesn't make me anxious. Even like the things that he protects me from, even though I'm sad about it, I still feel peace within it. It's like a weird stress peace thing.
I get it.
Yeah, I know you do. And so also if people's voices don't match up with scripture, it's not from God. So it's like someone saying, like, you're not doing enough or you're not enough or whatever. If that doesn't match up with what God says about me in scripture and how much he loves me in scripture, it's not from God. And so I have to learn to take what people say with a grain of salt, because people, I think, in this day and age are very careless with their words, mm-hmm. especially when it comes to social media, especially when it comes to being able to be a coward and type insults over a screen instead of in person. I think that people are just a lot more reckless, especially with what I believe in as well, because I get so much hate for what I believe in. It's kind of hilarious. And so just matching it up with scripture and how those things make me feel, even though like emotion isn't everything, but I feel like the Lord is strengthening my gift of discernment. And so discerning, like, the feelings that I have attached to those statements. So if Holly were to sit here and say, like, you're not doing enough for me, like, I would be, like, I know you would never say that, an anxious mess. But I know that that's not truth, because that's not from God. So, yeah. Just, like, what, are you feeling peace with what they're saying? Do you feel fulfilled with what they're saying? Those kind of things, because you can only be fulfilled by God. And sometimes we have to also remember that the Lord can speak through people. It's like when Holly is keeping me accountable, or she's speaking into me, the Lord's speaking through her to me, because she's saying things that the Lord says to me. And not to say that she's my God, but I know the Lord's speaking through her, and so I get to praise the Lord because of what she says. If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
I get it.
Cool.
Okay, my next question is kind of a two-parter. Okay. And one of them's not on the screen, so.
Oh, boy.
What are some, this has been really good. Okay, what are some, like, practical tips that you can give on overcoming this? But also, as someone who struggles with this, how do you choose your people? Like, how do you make sure that we'll call them your safe people. Like, how do you choose your safe people, and how do you, like, make sure, like, okay, these are the core people that I can, like, talk to and listen to, but, and then everyone else I shouldn't. Like, how do you go through that?
So the first part, practical tips, is I think starting to take initiative on your quiet time. Big thing that I don't know if I've said on here, I can't remember what I've said on the podcast and what I haven't, that the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He is not going to force his way into you, and he's not going to force you to have quiet time. Sometimes I wish he did, because sometimes I don't want to do it. But he's so kind, where he allows you to take initiative, and allows you to take the first step. And so I think that taking initiative with your quiet time. And every single morning, it's important to start your day with quiet time. Really cannot stress, it's important to start your day with quiet time because it armors you for the rest of the day. And it's the first moments of your day you get to spend talking about God or talking to God. Reading about him is just learning that relationship dynamic with the Lord and what intimacy looks like, because the reason why people please is because there's a void that's not full. Like every single person across the board, there is a certain void, there's a certain lie that they believe that they are trying to fill with other people instead of going to the source or going to the one who is love or going to the one who has made us enough. And so going to the Lord to be filled, because that's all he wants to do, is he wants to fill us. And so that is absolutely number one. Also, asking for the gift of discernment, because that has really helped me with people and friendships and relationships, is the Lord discerning me on, like, okay, how much of my heart can I give to this person, or how much of my heart can I show to this person? And sometimes I'll feel really anxious when I'm at coffee with these people, and I'm like, okay, I can't. Like, it's not time, or it's not the person. And so I think definitely asking for discernment and just being very cautious going into each and every single relationship that you have. I'm really good at diving real fast deep into these things without really thinking, without that gift of discernment. And so asking for the Lord to show you and to give you those green lights of how much you can show of yourself and of your true colors and how deep you can get with those people. And also having those, this is going to be so dumb, I just saw this, having those deep conversations and those meaningful moments in person rather than over a text message or over whatever, just from experience, it's really important to discuss that kind of stuff in person, because you won't get that discernment over technology, and technology has opened up a door into more hurt and more pain and more suffering, especially in relationships. So definitely, I think just be very cautious going into every single conversation until they give you a reason to trust them, I think, and build that trust. Friendships are not meant to go straight into, okay, let's get deep really fast. They're meant to grow and flourish just like every single other relationship. So, and also just make sure that God is at the center of every single relationship. We always talk about how God needs to be at the center of marriage and your relationship with your boyfriend or girlfriend. And I think that's very true, and I will stress on that for sure. But also, God's supposed to be at the center of all of your friendships as well. Like, every relationship you have, the Lord has to be at the foundation of that, especially if it's a deep and meaningful one, like your siblings or your friend or whatever. The Lord is meant to be at the center, and if he is not, that should be a red flag to you. And that may sound dumb, but the Bible talks so much about friendships and community and the deep, meaningful friendships that were had in the Bible. God was at the center. In some way, shape, or form, he was there. And so I think making sure that the Lord is at the center of that friendship, and you guys can equally keep accountable and keep each other accountable, when it comes to your relationship with the Lord. I mean, you'll know. You'll just know. A situation will happen, or they'll say something that will kind of put sirens off in your brain, and it's listening to that warning. I'm really good at ignoring those warnings. Really great at ignoring the warnings. Or just diving really deep really fast. And so just be very cautious, and not that you can't trust people, and not that you should go through life not trusting anyone. Just like allow it to grow on its own and ask the Lord to take the reins of that relationship and that friendship. What was the second part? I totally forgot. I'm like, frick, I don't remember.
Save people.
Save people. I don't want to.
We don't have to call it that. That's just what I.
No, I like that term. I like the term. I don't want to get on my high horse and say I'm like above them or whatever. It's like I need people to prove that they're trustworthy to me.
I get that.
Yeah. I don't want that. I feel like that sounds like very prideful. That's not what I mean. People need to prove themselves to me. That's not what I mean. But in relationships, I feel like I need the Lord to confirm, based on what they say, based on who they are, to prove that they are trustworthy of going through life with me and being able to see my heart. Because I love relationships. I love intimacy. I love that kind of stuff. And I have a lot to give. And those relationships, the Lord has just, again, gave me the gift of love. And I love loving other people. And he's allowed me to do that very well. I have lots of other gifts I'm not good at. But that is the one that the Lord was like, here. And so I'm able to distinguish how people respond to me in times of me struggling, conflict, when they're struggling, how they respond, and how they express their appreciation for me, which sounds also dumb, but it's like friendship is a two-way street. And if I don't feel like that they're also wanting to give and wanting to pour into me and also wanting to make me feel loved, then I know that the friendship is a one-way where it's just on my end. And disclaimer, you shouldn't go through life expecting that from every single person, because not every single person's going to give that to you. And I will not be fully fulfilled if I search for that. That's the point of people. It's like, we can't do that. But deep, meaningful friendships in any relationship, it is supposed to be a two-way or a two-door place where you're both wanting to pour into that relationship and making it grow. And so, say people for me look like Holly or my family. That's basically it. Because I know that they want what's best for me, and they are not afraid to tell me what they think is best for me. They want to tell me and lift me up. They want to tell me how much they appreciate me. They want to be there for me when I'm struggling. And they're the type of people that I trust, that I know if I say something to them, they, like, hey, I'm struggling with this, I need you to keep it just to yourself, I know that they will do that. So it is people that you can trust that will not take advantage of you. And when you do something really sweet or really loving and express that, they will make sure to show their gratitude for you and say, thank you, oh my gosh, that's so sweet. And they will go out of their way to love you. And they will go out of their way to show you how much they appreciate you. And if people don't do that for you, or if your friendships are not allowing that to happen, and you are stuck in this constant cycle of giving and giving and giving and wanting them to approve of you, then you're stuck in a toxic relationship, my friend. And the last big thing about them is that God is at the center of it all. Like Holly and I's relationship, we are accountability partners for each other. God is at the center of all of our basically conversations. He is at the center of everything we do, everything we talk about, everything we do together. Like, we're serving together. We're going to church together. Not to say you have to do everything together. Granted, we live together, so that's a whole other thing. But I know that God's at the center, and so I know that most of what she says is going to be very biblical, and the things that she says to me mostly are going to be from God. Like, I know that for sure. Same with my siblings. Sully is crazy, and so we won't get there yet because he's super immature. But Gracie, for sure, like, she and I, like, God is the center. Like, he's at the center. My parents, the Lord's at the center. They'll keep me accountable, and they will go to scripture, and we will have discussions about that kind of stuff. And so I know that God's at the center of all these things, and he's really there, evidently because of the fruits that we're all bearing. And so in your friendships, that if there's a red flag, or if there's a siren going off in your brain, or God isn't at the center and it's a mess, then that might be a friendship that you have to push boundaries with, or get some distance, I guess, between. And not that you have to end every single relationship that is not exceptionally at the highest standard. Like, I have so many friends. This is what Holly and I have described. I have very few best friends. I have lots of friends. I really don't have a lot of acquaintances, because everyone's my friend. Holly's very different. So I have lots of friends that I'm just like, hey, what's up? How are you? And that's basically where it's at. Or lots of friendships that are distant now, or I've had to put boundaries up with, that we're just friendly and we're supportive of each other, but we're not getting into these deep conversations. And that's okay. The people I'm talking about here are your best friends, your core people, the people that you talk to all the time. Are they uplifting you? Are they quoting scripture to you? Are they keeping you accountable? Are they loving you well? Are they also wanting to pour in to your relationship? And if the answer is no to one or more of these, you need to check, you need to ask for discernment, and you need to not get out, but you need to push up some boundaries, because that's going to be dangerous for you. And also, what are you wanting in friendships? What are you trying to grab? What are you desiring? What do you feel like you're not what do you feel like you're not going to God to fill up that you're trying to get from these friendships? And if you feel like that you are in an unhealthy spot and you are idolizing these friendships, you need to push up boundaries for yourself. And you also need to make that evident. It's like, I know for a fact that if I ever got in a spot where I'd idolize Holly, which I don't think is going to happen, if I got in a spot, I would be like, dude, I have to put up a boundary because I feel like I'm starting to idolize this. She would understand. She would get it because she's a good friend. So, communication, all the things.
Communication is very important.
If you're not communicating also in your friendships, there needs to be a change. Like, if you can't, like, if something happens and they say something that hurts you and you can't be like, dude, that hurt, and you guys can quickly reconcile and be fine, it's not a good friendship. Like, you have to communicate and be sure you're clear with everything. Or if you're like, I have to put up a boundary because blah, 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 blah. Or I have to put a boundary because I feel this way. Or I have to put a boundary because I feel, like, hurt because of something that you did. Then you should be able to reconcile real fast, and they should be able to understand because they're your true friend. So that was, like, a small rant, but
that was so good, so important.
Thank
you. Okay, last question as we wrap up this episode. How do you feel like you have... I know your healing is always going to be a process, mm-hmm. but up to this point, like, how do you feel like the Lord has healed you?
Mm.
Yeah.
I feel like he has... Oh, my gosh, I just lost my voice for a second. Excuse me. Sorry.
That's kind of scary.
I feel like the Lord has... I feel like... It's just so interesting. Because, like, looking back on this year, I was talking to mom and dad last night. Or my mom and dad last night. They're not your mom and dad, I'm sorry. I was talking to my mom and dad last night. And I've just been feeling so anxious and so heavy. There's a lot of things happening in our lives right now. But a lot of which are happening, like, internally for all of us. And there's just a lot of external things happening. And with this entire year and the situation that our world is in, especially the situation that our country's in, and political things and blah, 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 it's all very heavy. And so I was talking to my parents and I was like, I'm just, this year has been so heavy, I'm so ready for it to be over. Because a lot has happened for me personally this year, and maybe a lot has happened for you this year. And my mom is like, she's like, you know, I get it, like, there's a lot of heavy stuff. She's like, but I want you to just be thankful. Like, it's so important for you to be thankful for everything that's happened this year, because there's been so much that has happened, and you are now a person that you would have not been if it wasn't for this year. And the Lord has really grown me, and the person I am now is somebody that I love, not in a very narcissistic way, but it's like, I'm proud of how the Lord has refined me, and I'm able to worship him because of the way he's working in me, because I've really changed just in so many ways. And so I feel like this entire year, the Lord has refined me, and he has called out. And it's, again, it's been a very reflective year of he's shown me, not more of, like, not in a way of, like, guilt tripping me, or not in a way of shaming me, but, like, kind of like a, Emma, here are some things that you were doing and that you were trying to find in other people that you were supposed to find in me. More like in a, like, I love you so much, and that's why I'm trying to refine you, and that's why I'm trying to isolate you so it's just you and me, because I want you to get all of your energy and everything you want from me. So not in a shaming way, but in a, my child, I love you. This is why I'm doing this. And not even, and it wasn't even as a punishment the Lord was isolating me. It was a, I love you enough to be like, to isolate you. And so basically when quarantine hit, that was right after I decided to not go back to Lee. And basically, I don't want to say I was cut off from all friendship, but a lot of friendships died. A lot of them died. And the Lord, I think, did that on purpose, because he wanted me to just be with him and be fulfilled by him and feel loved by him. And so I feel like through that, I was able to grow and be refined in lots of other areas outside of people pleasing. And know my worth, and know that I'm worth more than giving into these one-way relationships that don't matter, and giving into these relationships where I feel empty at the end of the day. And I think that he brought in people like Holly, and he strengthened my relationship with my siblings, and he strengthened my relationship with my parents, that these are my core people. And not that I don't yearn for, like, other meaningful friendships, and I know the Lord's going to bring in more community for me, but it's like I feel fine with the people he's given me. And I don't feel like I have to earn my status with the people I'm with, because I know that they love me, and I know that I'm not supposed to be worshiping them. I'm supposed to be worshiping my God, my King. And so I feel like he's healed me in that way of where I'm able to consciously recognize when I'm pleasing others and when I'm trying to please others and where the wound is. And he's able to say, Emma, come on, girl. It's not, like, that's not it. That's not it. So, yeah, I feel like this year has been a lot, lots of healing, especially with people pleasing and where I find my identity and other things. So.
That was so good.
Thanks.
No, that was really good. I've known you for a long time. How long? Been like 12 years?
Yeah, it's been like 12 or 13 years.
13 years, it's something been like so that. Long, it's been a long gosh. Time that I've known you. And a lot of that time I've known you apart, living yeah. in separate areas of the country / the world.
Yeah.
But since I came back in whatever month that was, like, I have been... It's been, like, an honor and a privilege to watch you grow over the past few months and, like, see the Lord work in you and change you. And it's just been so cool just seeing, like, everything that you just said and, like, how the Lord has healed you. Like, just watch it play out. Like, I've been able to see all of this. And it's been so cool and a privilege to watch. And I appreciate you.
Thanks. And I appreciate you. Guys, God this is an example of good... friendships.
Yeah. Appreciation for each other.
Yes.
Well, do you have anything else that you would like to add?
I don't think so.
I think we covered all of it.
I think so.
You did a great job. Well, anyways, we're going to end that here. What are we doing next week? What's the podcast? Do we know?
Oh, it's on depression.
Oh, okay. Got depression next week.
About to
week.
Talk about depression. I think it's going to be the three of us again.
Woohoo!
Depression
is coming. Just kidding. It's not actually coming, but the podcast is coming.
But the depression podcast is coming.
Yeah. So look forward for that. And it's going to be weird if I start the flippity flop first.
Yeah, it's time for you.
Oh my gosh. Okay. With all that said, I'm Holly.
I'm Emma.
And we'll catch you on the flippity flop. Oh my gosh.
That was so good.